today on Compassion Radio.
In hearing these kind of openness and transparency coming out of communist officials in China, saying it like it is, this is what we are going to do, was a new experience for me. And I think God was letting us in the room for a reason. If nothing else but to be witnesses to what's to come and to be responsible as God reveals things to us through earthly authorities or through his own spirit. But I'm kind of concerned that we will always in the West keeping a knee-jerk reaction kind of church, where if we're really pushed to it, we'll finally do something.
We've all read or heard the accounts of Christians being beaten, tortured, and murdered for their faith. But that was way back in Bible times, right? That sort of thing isn't still going on in our modern world, is it? Sadly, the answer is yes. And in some ways, it's worse than ever before. Hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, our guest Jim Jennings of Conscience International says that we must never give up on trying to help our brothers and sisters, and that if we'll simply ask God to show us how we can help, he will make a way for us to do just that. This is Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part three of Bram's recent talk with Dr. Jim Jennings.
Joining us on the program again today is our dear friend and a mentor of mine and a great friend to the ministry over the years and personally to Norman Shearer Nelson, Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Bram.
So we've got the Western Hemisphere, we've got the Eastern Hemisphere, and you've given us that survey. If we could spend maybe the next 10 minutes or so, Doctor, talking about the spiritual principles here, why you go, how you go, and what it's like to be a Christian activist. What does it even mean to be a Christian activist? Is it different than being an activist in some other realm or in under some other authority?
Thank you for the question. As most of your listeners know, Bram, because you cover this kind of topic often, this is a time of great danger for the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world, but it's simultaneously a time of great opportunity. So it helps me to think about where we should position ourselves as Christians. First, biblically, what does the Bible teach us to do? Go and serve. But also historically and geographically, how did it happen that Asia is now being swept of its Christians? I mean, I'm talking about Central Asia down through the Middle East. That's been going on for 1,000 years. Where are we today on that? Where should we be in terms of biblical and historical and geographical grappling with these problems? Sometimes I think the church, as I said, is failing, and sometimes I think it's amazing what the Lord is doing through people surrendered to the Lord. So, persecution is one of the issues, and that's why it's dangerous in some of these countries. We have to confront the truth that churches and individual Christians all over the world are facing bloody persecution and martyrdom as bad as anything that happened under the Roman Empire, under the Nazis, and under the communists.
In this generation, Doctor, the kind of persecution we're talking about, is it basically just the same old story since the beginning of time? The kind of torture and degradation and dehumanizing efforts that the devil puts in the hearts of men to go after Christians? Or is there something new that you're seeing that is unique in this century?
Okay, I think you've asked the right question, Bram, and that's this. Yes, it is the same. People are actually tortured physically and beheaded and crucified and everything else for their faith. Now, even more insidious attacks, however, come from cultural practices that are godless, that weaken the core fiber of Christian belief and practice. Today we're seeing it in our country and in our world. Mm. And those attacks, I think what's interesting is that the church has never been defeated by persecution. It's the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, but it has been weakened, and in a sense, if it's defeated, it's defeated because we weaken our faith and we don't stand up to the issue. So the way we deal with this, as I said, in Conscience International, is put our faith to practice in our feet and hands and shoulders, and going out to meet people in need. In one sense, that's a demonstration of what Christ called us to do. And if you demonstrate it, it actually inspires others, I think, to follow that and to act that. So it comes down to what we value most.
Yeah.
Our lives or our testimony or our spiritual heritage. And you know, before the Roman Empire converted to Christianity under Constantine, just a few years earlier, there was the most severe, fiercest persecution ever under the pagan emperor Diocletian. And I was reading about some of the martyrs recently, and they stood up in court and said, no, I will die rather than follow your pagan belief, because the Lord Christ has promised us that we will be victorious even in death. And I wonder how many of us would be unwilling to undergo persecution, or would rather maybe take the easy way out. So, you know, the state of the world today is concerning. There are many challenges, to put it mildly, but external pressures have never been able, nor will they ever be able, to stop the Church of Jesus Christ, for it is indeed built upon a rock. And it's up to us to stay true to the Church's mission, to exercise our calling as disciples of Christ, and for us at Conscience International, it's hand and heart, shoulders, to do what Christ has called us to do, to respond to needs. And because the world is so much smaller than it used to be, my great-grandfather had to take his horse and wagon and take 3 days to go across the mountain and get supplies and come back. Today, we can go almost anywhere in the world in 24 hours. And so you, Bram, and certainly Norm and Cher Nelson, before you have led the way in showing that we can actually deal with people in China or in Zanzibar or any place if there's an open door and a calling. And people say, why do you go there instead of the inner cities in this country? Well, it depends on your calling. I happen to speak Arabic, so I spent a lot of time in the Arabic world, in the Arab world, ministering there. But also it's opportunity. I mean, in the gospel, in the book of Acts, it let us they wanted to go into Macedonia, but they couldn't or Bithynia, so they went to Macedonia instead. So you take the opportunities that come to go and go and go and serve.
Yeah. We've often talked on the program about while the window is open, we have to act. And there have been many countries that you have traveled with Dr. Nelson and have seen great welcoming. I mean, they did the Advent in Afghanistan program just shortly after the first battles with the Taliban, and the place was wide open for Americans, especially. You'd in there and say, why in the world have you noticed us suddenly, and what do you stand for? And once you all got to know the warlords that were running the north and the south parts of the country, suddenly an invitation came in to come share Jesus.
You're right. Norm did marvelous work there in Afghanistan. We were there together at one point.
And when we talked to the folks in Compassion Radio and said to them, the window may not be open for very long. We got to do something while the window is there. You can see what's happening there. We can help people that are on the ground. We can get involved directly and help seed the church. We did that work. And then the wall came crashing down again. And there was no opportunity to get back in at all after a certain year in the middle 2000s. I have no idea when the door is going to open again for us to walk back in, or whether we have to keep climbing over the mountains to get there. But there are plenty of places like that around the world. So if you could tell me at this point from your experience, Dr. Jennings, where are the doors open? Where are the windows cracked so we can get a glimpse of what's happening there? And where are the doors shutting?
Let me first say that Norm Nelson, the founder of this program, Compassion Radio, and I worked together in Sudan many times, and we found that at one point, believe it or not, at 3 a.m., we were kicked out of the country. We came back, they met us with limousines and brass bands and had banquets for us. I mean, and we talked with the top leadership of the country. It's persistence, even in the face of walls and closed doors and all of that. I think the open doors for Christians nowadays are in countries where, A, we can access, B, where we speak the language, C, where there is our church is already established. If you're talking, and that's most of Africa,
okay,
and that's and Latin America as well, where there are many very fervent and zealous Christians in both those continents. I think if you talk about closed doors and needy areas, it's got to be the Middle East, the Muslim world, and there's not there's only a small percentage of the missionary dollar that has ever gone to the Muslim world. People just give up and say that's hopeless, but it's not, and that's not the way the disciples did in the Book of Acts in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Perhaps we could say that China is maybe the greatest opportunity because it under the bamboo curtain during those days, before China opened up to the world and changed its economic system, at least, there was no possibility almost. All the missionaries had been driven out and before World War II, and some survived during World War II, but it was closed for a long time, and then it opened. And there's great opportunity there, and then the Chinese sphere in Southeast Asia.
When Sandy and I traveled together to China earlier this spring, we were kind of surprised to hear that they were being more vocal about their future plans. Because this time we went through the open door. We actually were invited in on the government level to go see what kind of gospel things were happening in the Three Self Church in China, which had never really been perceived as being very evangelical in the West. But it turns out they have a very strong evangelical element within that organization, and we got to meet those who were actually preaching the gospel with passion and finding ways to get Bibles to people who had never got them before, ever, no matter who had gone in there. But because we were able to go through the open doors that were provided for us, we were able to hear from the mouths of people in government what their next plans were. And they've said quite directly that the public, the acknowledged, the registered church has about 2 years or so before they're going to close down everybody else who is not registered. So the challenge to the registered churches was go find those who are underground and invite them to come out into the light.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up in just a moment.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your faithful mission giving at the level the Lord enables you to give. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or if you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity here makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our vision team members that literally keep us going day to day. Second, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we must meet to make sure that we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart, and we are so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
Preacher say a single dime can feed a hungry boy, a girl with nothing to eat. So he pulled a dollar from the pocket of his jeans, and he asked his mama, how many will this feed? She just smiled when she told him 10, and he reached back in again. What if I give all I have? What will that gift do?
My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude.
He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need and I can hear him say, what if I give all? Three birthday dollars could have bought a special toy, but he reminds me of another little boy gave to Jesus a gift of fish and bread. I wonder if he said, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do?
My child, a gift like that could change the world.
Eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need and I can hear him say, what if I give all?
And long ago, a father and a son saw the children lost in sin.
Son, that gift will change the world. It will free the multitude.
Listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Because we were able to go through the open doors that were provided for us, we were able to hear from the mouths of people in government what their next plans were. And they've said quite directly that the public, the acknowledged, the registered church has about 2 years or so before they're going to close down everybody else who is not registered. So the challenge to the registered churches was go find those who are underground and invite them to come out into the light. When they do, we'll give them the same status you have. If they don't, they're going to be considered traitors, and they're going to be pursued as terrorists. So it seems like there's a weird and new kind of carrot and stick being used about the registered and unregistered churches of China. And that means hundreds of millions of people's lives are at stake. And so my guess is that those kind of opportunities that we used to think about working with the unregistered churches may close very solidly and lock out the West for a very long time. And new opportunities might be coming in places they were not expecting them. So I'm kind of concerned myself, Jim, about what's going to come to China in the next 3 to 5 years.
I agree with you. And I think you have to ask, what is the reason for this attitude on the part of the government? It very much parallels what the Roman Empire went through centuries ago. And that is when the church begins to boom and has great success and is burgeoning and people are being converted and becoming sincere Christians, that challenges the whole foundation of the state. Yeah. That is the communist doctrine, and as it was for the pagan Romans. And what they thought held their country together was their pagan belief. And the Christians, and so there was severe persecution, and doors were closed, and people ended up in prison and being killed. And this, I think, is, I mean, there has been, you know this very well from your recent trip, an enormous success of the Christian church in China under the terrible conditions.
Yes.
And and so that is a thrilling story. Yeah. And now, how does it develop from here on? I think the answer is your prediction is right. There will be a great period of suppression, and it'd be hard to imagine. It'd be unimaginable the bloody persecution of that that in that country with the great population. But the church will triumph. Now, that's different than in some places where the church has been wiped out. And certainly Central Asia, much of the Middle East, that happened over the last 1,000 years. And it's really the Armenian genocide being one example, yeah. 125 years ago, that left millions of Christians dead. So it's uneven all over the world. And there are opportunities, as you say, open doors, and there are closed doors.
The thing that's kind of interesting for me at this stage in our ministry is that we've always been a responsive organization. We find out where the needs are, we listen to people like you, and then we try to find ways to get people interested and activated to join you in that activist work of being proactive with your faith. It didn't occur to me until this year that we might actually be called to be witnesses to what is to come. And hearing these kind of openness and transparency coming out of communist officials in China, saying it like it is, this is what we are going to do, was a new experience for me. And I think God was letting us in the room for a reason. If nothing else but to be witnesses to what's to come and to be responsible with that information. And we do want to be responsible as God reveals things to us through earthly authorities or through his own spirit. But I'm kind of concerned that we will always in the West keeping a knee-jerk reaction kind of church, where if we're really pushed to it, we'll finally do something.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.